expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in for any aspect or any item or any discussion, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Today's a Wednesday. It's usually one of those days where I have a pioneer, legend, nefarious character, a famous Fairbankson, but today I've got Will Stapp. With looking at all the political maneuvering that is going on, and Will's a pretty good analyst, and I have great discussions with him, so I thought I'd just have a freewheeling discussion with Will Stapp on the air. He is running for State House District 32, which is the old District 2, which is the one that Representative Steve Thompson is retiring from. But first of all, Will, did you have a wonderful solstice?
I did have a wonderful solstice, David. I'm sure like most people in Fairbanks, you know, we survive our wonderful winters in this town to get to the month of June and remind us why we love living here, you know.
Everyone's sort of walking around in recovery mode this morning after, you know, we don't just have a solstice day. We have, it starts Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So, you know, on, boy, it, just one of those things.
Yeah, and there's a lake right by my house. My four-year-old daughter calls it the relaxing lake. So my wife and my two daughters went out there at to watch the midnight sun before we all went to bed. So
only in Fairbanks. Well, Fairbanks is the best place to watch it.
That's for sure.
So it is getting interesting for the U.S. congressional race.
Yes, it is.
First of all, it's a special election under the first time ever ranked choice voting, under the first time ever sending out mail ballots that got about a 27% return, which is pretty good for a special election.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a primary. And it was the primary for the special election. And your top four are Sarah Palin, Nick Begich III, Al Gross, Mary Petola. Mm-hmm. Tara Sweeney, she's fifth with about 7.5%.
Correct.
And what happens right after it's certified? Al Gross says, well, I'm dropping out.
Yeah.
And what happens? A faction says, okay, now that this person's, you got to put the top four, Tara Sweeney moves up. And the Division of Elections says, no. This now it's only top three. Sorry, Al, but we're not reconfiguring everything. And so my prediction is that Scott Kendall, the old chief of staff for
Senator Rutkowski
and Governor Walker, he will sue on behalf of a independent expenditure to get Tara Sweeney on there.
Yeah, I mean someone is certainly has to sue. You know, yeah. That's kind of a foregone conclusion.
And he's going to say, well, if this is what we meant. This was our intent. If this did happen. And so, oh, boy.
Yeah, and, you know, that just kind of goes to show some of the structural flaws with Ballot Measure 2 when they put this together. And
thank you, Scott.
Yeah. I'm a detail-oriented guy, and it's not super pertinent to this specific situation, but, you know, it's typically or historically, there's always been a mode to replace a candidate in the election cycle in the event that they dropped out or maybe they got hit by a bus or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no mechanism to do that in this go first, even state legislative races, right? So there are some races where a candidate is running all by themselves, you know, without an opponent.
Now, you see, if this was in back our normal election, what they'd be saying is, well, say this was Republican and we can replace her.
Correct.
There's no political party anymore.
Yeah, there's no mechanism to replace a candidate.
You got what you wanted. Be careful what you asked for it because you just got it.
Yeah. And it's going to be a long election cycle. The primary in August is going to be really interesting for these to fill the congressional seat. So I was just over at the ranked choice voting folks were doing a training, and the lady in charge said that you are going to vote to rank these congressional candidates in the primary on the front side of the ballot. And on the back side of the ballot, you're going to vote for one candidate to run in the general election in November. So you're going to have a ballot with the same folks' names on there, and on the front side you rank them, and on the back side you vote for one individually. And I was thinking, yeah, that's probably going to be kind of a disaster in my personal opinion, but yes. We'll see, you know.
It gets interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, but this situation with, I suppose three candidates in the congressional race and pending a fourth, we'll see how that goes. If former Deputy Interior Secretary Tara Sweeney did make it onto the ballot after, say, a successful lawsuit from someone, you'd have three Republicans and one Democrat, by party affiliation for this special primary election in August.
It makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, RCV is a tricky thing. It's called ranked choice voting. And the counting method that we use is called instant runoff, or that's what the ballot measure gave us. And basically, when they rank their candidates, they're not actually going to rank all the candidates in order of preference. They may only rank one or two, or they may rank all four. And that creates what's called an exhausted ballot aspect. So, And I call it addition by subtraction. So I don't really like the concept personally.
Say if I only voted for one person, that person came in first on the first round. Would he still be in on the second round?
He would be on the second round if he came in first on the first round. But the scenario I'd give you is, let's say you only voted for one person and they came in fourth. And then they would be eliminated. Their votes would be reallocated to the other candidates if those ballots opted to pick a second choice. But if they didn't, we just do addition by subtraction, right? So a pretty easy example I give folks is, say, 100 people cast a ballot. There's four candidates, and only 80 of those people rank a second choice, right? So now, rather than counting the vote total out of 100 ballots cast on the second round, you would only count the vote total out of 80 ballots cast. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why I call it addition by subtraction. I don't like it because the argument is, well, it's better because it's for majority voting, which is 50%, and that's a clear winner in election, different from first past the post, what we used to do. And you shouldn't get to 50% by subtraction, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's the new math.
Yeah. And that's effectively, if you look at the case studies on RCV, depending on where you look, Burlington mayor election is a good example. It was one of the first examples. The candidate gets to majority, 50% plus one, and a lot of times they're going to get there through exhausted ballots. So,
again, interesting times. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it happens. And, we had a curveball with ranked choice voting. We had a knockdown pitch with the passing of Congressman Don Young, and now with Al Gross jumping out of it, we have the infield throwing sand on home plate to cover up the strike zone.
Yeah. All we need now is for the pitcher to do a few blocks on the mound, and then we'll have a game. So
yeah, there you go. There's more to come. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! It's the Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Visit Frontier's extensive fishing department for conventional fly and saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KBAK Radio with more information on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's advisory announcement and emergency order that dip netters are not allowed to keep king salmon on the Copper River. We'll get a bit more in depth about why they made that decision. But here's what they said. Chitna personal use dip netters no longer allowed to keep king salmon in the dip net fishery. Additionally, sport fishing for king salmon in all waters of the Copper River drainage, restricted to catch and release only, effective June 20th. It also restricts anglers to one unbaited single hook artificial lure. They say the restriction on retaining king salmon is based on a test wheel capture rate that indicates the 2022 Copper River king salmon run appears to be weaker than the preseason forecast of 40,000 kings. Those test wheel catch rates match up with declines in daily king salmon apportionment at the Miles Lake sonar. The good news is a sufficient number of sockeye salmon have been counted at the sonar to justify a 168-hour dip net opening starting at 12:01 a.m. Monday, June 20th and continuing through Sunday, June 26th. That's an increase of 36 hours from the preseason schedule. A total of 152,886 salmon were counted past the Miles Lake sonar for the week of June 6th through 12th. That was 86,076 fish above the preseason projection.
The Valdez Fishing Report is produced by Northwave Communications, KVAK. To listen to KVAK while you're in Valdez, tune in to 93.3 FM or 1230 AM. To listen on your phone anytime, anywhere, download the KVAK radio app at the Apple app or Google Play Store. To listen on your computer and check out our local news and podcasts, visit kvakradio.com.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Outfitters brings you the Valdez Fishing Report, helping you make your next fishing adventure a success. Rods to tackle, coolers to camping gear. It's your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 77. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 53. Tonight, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 68. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp in the studio with me here. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. If you want to add a comment or ask a question about what we're discussing today or anything you want to discuss. Now, we had 150,000 correct ballots sent in, and we had a little bit over 4,000 ballots that were rejected.
Mm-hmm.
So you have about what a... A 2.75% failure.
Yeah, and it's going to vary widely depending on what regions of the state that we're talking about. So kind of starting here in downtown Fairbanks, there was almost, I think, a 6% ballot rejection rate, right, in the district that I'm running for, which is East Fairbanks and Fort Wainwright and Badger Road. It was a little bit better. It was about 4.5% rejection rate. But in some rural communities, you know, so you look at places I travel to all the time, like Bristol Bay, Dillingham, you know, they're in the double digits, anywhere from 10 to 16% ballot rejection rate. And, this is always a risk when you look at, complicating your standard election process.
Yes.
And people say, well, we want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to vote. And, I fundamentally agree with that. But, I mean, what's worse, just not showing up to the polling booth on election day or thinking you cast a ballot that was going to count and it didn't?
Exactly.
I tend to think that it's probably worse where somebody who, sent a mail and it wasn't really super aware of the process that goes into that, thought they were voting for their candidate. And,
You had to do two things. You had to have a witness sign it, and you either had to put in your last four of your social security number or your driver's license number.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you had to do. And so when I voted, I went over to the state offices here, Interior of Elections, went and got a very, very fine person, the person who runs the division office up here, Jeremy Johnson, called him out of his office, told him what I was doing. He smiled. He saw me put in the envelope, put down my last four of my social. He signed it, licked the envelope, boom, gave it to him, And I said, you know, you guys are so good here. Mm-hmm. I just, thank you for doing what you do. Once they get it, there's no issue.
Yeah.
It's the issue prior to them getting it that can happen. And I thank them very profusely for how good they are, how above board they are. And the lady who's at the front desk, she's just sort of looking at me in amazement. She goes, no one ever comes in here and says how nice things to us. Mm-hmm. I go, well, hey, here you go.
Yeah, I actually went down in person, Division of Elections. I had to do some work, not at that building, but nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked in there and I casted basically, an early vote about a week or so before the mail-in ballot deadline. They had the polling booth set up. And then I checked the results later and I think, 10 people from my district voted in person, So, hey,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's something else. Yeah. Boy. But again, in our old election, if you wanted to do a mail-in ballot, it was similar. You had mm-hmm. one person certify that, as a witness. That was it. So that's still the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to think of the process, too, for the old way we used to do absentees, right? So you basically had to sign it up to request it. So you're kind of involved in the process.
Yeah.
You're used to the details. So a lot of folks, when they got their ballot in the mail, right, they never voted by mail or anything like that before.
Yeah.
So if they're not used to the process and, especially if they didn't request the ballot, well, you shouldn't be super surprised if they make a clerical error or some sort of mistake that gets their ballot rejected,
And it made a good case for voter roll review and mm-hmm. removal, because a lot of places got, a lot of houses got 3 to 5 ballots that people who used to be there who weren't there. And, hey, guess what? They're filling in the data from their permanent fund, dividend.
Yep.
So they're keeping all the old stuff the same. But guess what? Direct deposit in their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care what the address is, as long as that bank account is fine.
Yep.
And, so our Division of Elections from a few years ago, 4 years ago, we went with a system where our voter registration was done by the dividend, permanent fund dividend application.
Yeah, correct.
So, boom, here you go. This is what everyone's asked for. This was a voter initiative. This was a voter initiative on the ranked choice voting. This is what they sold you.
Yep.
Here it is. These are the fruits of independent expenditure, dark money, labor.
Yeah, and that type of stuff always has unintended consequences, especially when some of these groups, really originated from out of the state.
Yeah.
And they don't understand the dynamics of the state. So, with the permanent fund automatic voter registration, there's a lot of people who might have a different mailing address than they do their home physical address, right? And their voter registrations are going to be changed based on what they put on the form if they check the little box there on the dividend. And, 4 years ago when Representative LeBon ran for office the first time and won by one vote, you can look at some of the legal, meanderings afterward. And there were people who wrote letters saying, hey, I didn't realize my voter registration got changed to a different address when I tried to go vote, and I ended up voting in a different district, and et cetera, So that was kind of one unintended consequence there. And, the other unintended consequences of, doing something like that is you have a voter roll that it used to be almost 600,000 people. And it's about 590,000 quote unquote registered voters in the state of Alaska.
for 750,000 population. Yes. That is incredible.
734.
Yeah.
Right? So, and usually I tell folks.
I'm so corrected on that amount. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm give or take a few hundred folks, right? But I tell people, nobody seriously believes that we have that many registered voters in the state, because there's kids that live here who are ages, 0 to 17 and can't vote, right? So you can just look at K-12 enrollment in Alaska, and then look at the voter rolls and do
basic,
the math, right?
Subtract a few.
But so a lot of that stuff, we're required by kind of federal law to maintain, people's addresses. And there's a lot of regulatory stuff. Over at Division Elections, Jeremy is really adept at this, mm-hmm. and he can tell you kind of what the issues are and what he thinks could help a lot as far as maintaining accuracy and data and voter rolls. Because that's something that we as a society think we want to make sure that, we have good voter rolls and that we have good elections and there's high quality. And, you know, honestly, that we want as many people to go out there and vote as possible and elect people that they think best represent them, you know. But, yeah, there's danger when you're doing things that that don't take into account the complexity of that type of stuff. So, and yeah, there's a lot of work. And like I said, if you talk to anyone, no one seriously believes that there's 590,000 people who are eligible to vote in the state.
So, yeah, 150,000 voted.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, and again, the addresses are not going to be wrong and, you know, they can't change that. And it's, yeah, it's kind of a mess to try to do a statewide mail-in, especially when you already know you have those fundamental problems. Like all the folks who kind of work in this area, like they understand the fundamental problems with the folks on their voter rolls and inaccurate addresses, but they just can't really do anything about it.
You know, I can understand why they did the first one as a mail-in. Because all of a sudden you had to gear up so fast.
Correct.
And that's impossible, manning all the staffing, everything. So they did it right, and they said, okay, we're going to have the special election general on the general election primary day. So you're voting twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to vote, you're going to vote twice.
Yeah.
And get it out of your system and do it that way. It's a two-for-one. You know, very, yep. Very good way to do it.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a more efficient way. I just think, you know, and this is the issue with kind of timing and election stuff. I think, personally, it's going to be super confusing for someone to go in and vote for the same people. And
Twice.
You know?
Two different ballots, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, the folks told me today, and I can't verify this accurate, it's actually going to be the same ballot, just be front and back, right? Which is probably worse than having two separate ballots, right? I mean, so we'll see, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, not to sound pessimistic or, you know.
No, it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. Look at it as a cartoon. Think positively.
Yeah. No, I'm a positive guy, you know. I like to tell folks, you know, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky, you know, but when I look at how this system is going to play out in August, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. So. And then the funny thing about it is we're going to elect a representative, and they're going to be staying here to campaign to get their next election in.
Yeah, I looked at the dates on that, and I think that if whoever we elect in August is going to be in D.C. for maybe 11 days or something before they end the...
Welcome to the late... Don Young's world.
Yeah,
that, no one did it like him. You know, no one did it like Representative Don Young.
Yeah, and it, you know, keep in mind, Congressman Young, he won areas of the state consistently. You know, for decades. You know, like I can't remember the last time Congressman Young lost the Bristol Bay area, for example, in a congressional race. So.
Yeah.
Which very few statewide Republican candidates have ever been able to kind of consistently win a region of the state like that. So.
Yeah, he was something else, and I got to know him over the years very, very well, a very good friend. And whenever he's coming through town, he'd give me a call to see if he could get on the show. And a couple times since his schedule was so busy with this tape of show, and a very wealth of knowledge of both history, pre-statehood, post-statehood, before he was elected to Congress, when he was representative, state senator, all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All that, being a Yukon River boat captain, school teacher, you know, he lived a life. He was something else.
Mm. Yeah, no, I met him. First time I met Congressman Young, I was still in the Army. I was on terminal leave. My wife and I just moved back to Alaska after my last tour to Iraq. And I sat in his office, and it was just a fun experience. I never met like a congressman before ever in my life. You know, I met a couple.
Great personality.
Before. Yeah, and he had just a force of personality and a smile and just a presence. You know, just had a presence.
If you didn't like his politics, you liked him as a person. You couldn't help it.
Yeah, no, he is an incredibly likable guy. And he knew how to talk to people, too. He knew that I was an infantry guy and I was a paratrooper. So, you know, he kind of geared his conversation toward that type of stuff. So talked about his gun collection and stuff like that. And it was kind of crazy for a congressman to do that.
His gun collection in his office.
Yeah, basically, you know, just telling me about how he bought a Barrett 50 cal, you know, and how excited he was to use it. And I thought that was pretty hilarious at the time, you know.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a break for the Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. We're going to give you some bumper music. The Human League. I did not choose this, but when I was in high school and college, the Human League was pretty darn good. So I tentatively approve this music.
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden calling on Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months.
By suspending the 18-cent gas tax, federal gas tax, for the next 90 days, we can bring down the price of gas and give families just a little bit of relief. I call on the companies to pass this along, every penny of this 18 cents reduction to the consumers. There's no time now for profiteering.
AAA reports the national average for a gallon of regular grade gasoline is $4.95. Yellowstone National Park partially reopens to visitors today.
Following record floods from rains and snowmelt that washed out numerous roads and swallowed bridges and buildings. We're told getting the park back to what it once was could take years and upwards of $1 billion.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An Alaskan elections official says the fifth place finisher in the special primary for the state's U.S. House seat will not advance to an August special election following the withdrawal of independent Al Gross, who was in third place. Gail Fanumiai, the director of the Division of Elections, says that's because the withdrawal happened less than 64 days before the special election. She pointed to a provision of law laying out the timeline. She says Gross's name would be removed from the special election ballot. She says that any party that disagrees with the decisions should sue immediately, citing the timeline for printing ballots. The remaining candidates for that election are former Governor Sarah Palin and Nick Begich, both Republicans, and Democrat Mary Peltola. The Alaska Fire Service says there are currently 111 active fires burning across Alaska, and just over 1 million acres have burned so far in 2022. The weather that is predicted for later this week and the high flammability of available vegetation as fuel for the fires, the potential for growth is very high going into this coming weekend, the Alaska Fire Service wrote. Please be aware of any burn bans that affect your area.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When you head to Homer this summer, you can relax because you found the perfect place. The Ocean Shores, located on 4 acres of oceanfront with beach access right from your front door, gives you amazing views of the Ketchumack Bay, St. Augustine, and miles of uninterrupted beaches. Plus, it's only one block from downtown where you'll enjoy great restaurants, shops, art galleries, and more. Recommended by the New York Times and Lonely Planet, nowhere is better for that trip to Homer than the Ocean Shores. Visit them online at oceanshoresalaska.com for their Alaska resident discount. The Ocean Shores, the best views in Alaska, right outside your door.
Hi, this is Andrew Rosso, General Manager of Golden Heart Waste Management. I just wanted to say thank you to all of our customers supporting local and giving us the opportunity to provide superior customer service to our Golden Heart City. Golden Heart Waste Management offers commercial dumpsters for your businesses or apartments and roll-offs for all of your construction projects. We also offer small roll-offs with Fairbanks-only four-wheel drive roll-off trucks. Get yourself to ghwmfairbanks.com today. If you haven't gotten a quote from us, you're probably paying too much.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you.
But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the mountains of Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and Utah.
The deserts of Arizona and Nevada. The Pacific coasts of Washington, Oregon, and California.
To the wilderness of Alaska and islands of Hawaii and Guam.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference.
Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp in the studio with me here. The general election for U.S. Congress, there was 22 people, I believe, that were on it, and all of a sudden there's those that are dropping off now. You've had Josh Rivack drop off, Senator Rivack. Al Gross is obviously dropping off. And it's interesting how, you know, we'll see what people like John Coghill does if he drops out, or if Adam Wall drops out. I still see Adam signs up. And you know, it I guess it, you have to determine on yourself, do I have a chance to be in the final four with the results I've seen on my earlier application to be voted for?
Yeah, it's always a difficult prospect doing an election. You know, some of these people maybe, you know, they might be looking forward to November. But kind of the problem with the way we're doing this is if you basically are the victor in August, right, you're almost a shoo-in to be a victor in November, yeah, bar some big dynamic changes in the way things are going. And that's just because of you're going to get the campaign infrastructure, and you're going to get the volunteers, and you're going to have the name recognition. You know,
to the victor goes the spoils,
and you'll have the incumbent little mark on your name. You know?
Exactly,
that means a lot to a voter. So,
yeah,
you know. So I think a lot of folks are going to be making those decisions here. I think they have till the June 26th to withdraw, which I believe is Monday, next Monday, or is it Friday? What day is it today?
I think it's. I think it's Monday.
Yeah, I think it is Monday. That's the withdrawal date for the August. And, of course, I think you have another date afterwards you can withdraw, but they'll probably
I think the 27th is a Monday, so it's probably the 27th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They always have it on that Monday following a weekend or a Friday just before the weekend.
Yeah, now forgive me if I'm wrong on that date, but I'm pretty sure it's around there. So
why it's such an important one for you for your personal campaign.
Yeah, no. I try to be accurate, especially when I talk in public, so you know. So
well, you know, you're campaigning for District 32.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, when you knock on a door, what are the concerns of people the most, do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's actually been almost uniform across the board, even kind of outside, you know, standard party affiliation. I tell folks, people are really concerned about rising inflationary pressures on consumption goods, so like milk, groceries, gas prices. And for those of us who are not in, you know, in the gas area of the city, you know, so I live in Badger Road, there's no IGU stuff out there yet. And, you know, we have heating oil to heat our homes. So when you look at prices that are this high, people are super, super worried about, you know, their long-term economic impact of, you know, inflationary pressure on goods and high gas prices. And honestly, who wouldn't be right now? It's a pretty scary time. And that affects everything. Obviously, GVEA announced that they were going to have a rate increase due to the nature of the cost of power generation.
Yeah.
And, man, it's scary.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Will Stapp, and your name is?
My name is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
I had queried you maybe a month ago. I've been out of town as to what can become of Don Young's campaign funds here. I think he had a money order.
I have not looked into that yet, but I'll find out from the Division of Elections what happens there.
All right. And, of course, it's been our guest. Or to you, I guess. How much does it take to run a serious campaign for your office? Do you have some sort of ballpark figure? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm a big efficiency of money and time person, and I've worked on campaigns in my history. It just depends. Depends on the dynamics of the race. Depends on the dynamics of the seat and opponents and who's doing things. I will tell you, nothing replaces good old-fashioned talking to people door to door. To me, that's kind of the best way to meet voters and stuff like that. So you're going to need some sort of money for name recognition. Recognition and stuff like that for advertising and for signage and for the standard kind of stuff you do in a political campaign. But for a state house seat, for in my example, like a legislative seat, I would say generally a good target would be anywhere from $30,000 to maybe $70,000 for the entire length of the campaign, depending on where you live. Obviously, if you're a super well-liked guy like Representative Brox in North Pole, who no one ever wants to run against, you don't got to...
he's the hammer.
You don't got to raise a lot of money,
yeah,
right, because you're the only one on the ballot. But some people are going to tell you, you know, you need $200,000, and that's just probably not the case.
You know, I really like Mike a lot. This great personality. And so we were at an event, and he was at. I said, don't get too cocky. Santa Claus can be a write-in vote.
Yeah. No.
Now hold it. Santa Claus beat Adam Wall.
He did. Santa Claus beat a lot of people.
Yeah.
David Cruz, you know.
Yeah. But that was more of the gimmick or the protest vote?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, look.
A lot of social democrats out there? Democrats? Okay.
You know, and there's 48. Some of that's definitely going to be a protest vote. But keep in mind, you know, Santa refused to take any contributions and refused, you know, to
he gives, he doesn't take.
Correct. You know, he's Santa and he doesn't want to take for people. So if he had wanted to do that, he probably could have had a better result if he had been able to put some ads out there, because I'm sorry, folks, but like I can think of all the amazing slogans that you could have when you have Santa Claus running for office, right? I mean, it's like a gold mine of amazing stuff.
Yeah. I'm surprised an IE didn't get in touch with them. Hey, we'll raise you money and we get a percentage of it, you know, something like that.
Yeah, well, I've known Santa actually a long time, and we have different politics, but he's a pretty principled person.
Yeah.
So he probably, obviously you wouldn't have any control over that due to the nature of campaign laws, but I'm sure he would not have been happy if an IE wanted to support him. So, but no, I agree with you in principle for sure, you know.
You know, out of the 59 races that are going to happen in the state House and state Senate, only one has a true ranked choice voting in the primary, and that's District 35.
District 35, and we have a Democrat. Her name is Ashley Carrick. We have a nonpartisan registered gentleman. His name is Tim Parker. He was the former head of the NEA, I think, for all of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
You have
nonpartisan head of the NEA for all of Alaska. Really?
Try
explaining that one on the air to me.
You have Republicans Kevin McKinley and Republican Reuben McNeil. Mm-hmm. And there is a Constitution Party candidate named Keenan Brown.
Yeah.
So that's the only legislative race for state House or state Senate that the primary is actually going to kind of matter to who advances, right? In the House District 35.
So all this ranked choice voting, all this for one primary. Just one.
Yeah, and you know,
in the legislature, not in the governor's race, you know, just one.
Yeah, and like you know, my heart kind of hurts when you think about kind of the wasteful, inefficient aspects of this. So we're going to print all these ballots and do all these things. And honestly, for the primary and for only one race in the entire 59.
Thank you, Scott Kendall.
It's not going to matter, right?
Yeah.
So we're literally going to spend a bunch of money because we're required to do that. And of course, there's other races. But as far as the
governor's race has 9 or 11 in it, so that'll be.
Yeah, and honestly, it's like
I just don't see Kirka making the final four for you know.
Yeah, that's another interesting race. I don't really see that either, but you never know. So I tell folks, I travel all over the state, and I've done that for 10 years. So I've gone to places like on Alaska or Kivalina or Manicotic or Unalakleet and Barrow and all that. So you get a pretty good idea of the different types of issues that people think and what they talk about and stuff like that. And I don't know how popular Representative Kirk's message is going to be outside maybe the Valley or the Kenai. But then again, you have another candidate from the Kenai who's the actual borough mayor and Charlie Pierce. So
just looking at the projections, you know, my the top three that I'm very positive will be out of the four would be Governor Dunleavy, Governor Walker, and Mayor Charlie Pierce out of the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think would be the fourth?
Oh, it has to be a former state representative, Les Guerra,
yeah.
would be my guess.
Yeah.
So my top three are going to be Governor Dunleavy, former Representative Guerra, and former
So that'd
Governor
be two Republicans, Walker. One independent who's not really independent, and one Democrat.
Correct. Yeah, that would be my guess. And again, my fourth pick would also be Mayor Charlie Pierce. And mainly that's because, Charlie Pierce has been working really hard going a lot of places. And generally that's going to turn out enough results. And I couldn't even really tell you anyone outside of Representative Kirko who's running for governor outside that. So,
you know, it's interesting the fight, you know, for you get one ballot, you get one choice. And, you know, Les will, if he's on the final ballot, he will help Dunleavy. If Charlie Pierce is on the final ballot, him and Dunleavy will go well together. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's So keep in mind the dynamics of this stuff. So when we talk about no other state has opted to do what we are We're the only ones, yeah. Right? And I tell folks, so you can look at the literature from, the folks that are putting together our ballot initiative, and they'll give you all these examples about other places that have some aspect of ranked choice voting. But keep in mind, they do it differently than we do. Their counting mechanism might be different. Their primary process might be different. So we are unique in this, somebody wanted to experiment in Alaska, and they were successful at getting us to grow into this grand experiment. And we're just going to have to do our best to kind of educate the public on how to do this process, because I'm not super convinced that anyone really knows, what type of Machiavellian candidates are going to help each other, right?
If you're a member of the Democratic Party, do not criticize the other Democrat. If you're Les Guerra, do not criticize Dunleavy. Walker. If you're Walker, you do not criticize Les Guerra.
Mm-hmm. Or not through yourself, right? Yeah. I mean, they'll have other people make those criticisms before them. But even that, voters are getting smarter, because it's not their first rodeo, so.
Well, this is the first rodeo.
Well, on this particular process, but, for a while there were candidates who changed their party affiliation to independent because they wanted to pretend that they were independents when they really weren't. And I think folks are wising up to that type of stuff nowadays. So,
ready for a call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Will Stapp, and your name is?
Hey, this is Craig Compo. How are you doing?
Hello, Craig Compo. I'm looking at your outdoor show things that I deleted.
What?
Nothing. No.
Okay.
Craig, April Fools. Anyway, what's up, buddy?
Well, I just had a question for you or Will. I'm just wondering the process for Nixon getting rid of this ranked choice voting, assuming we get the right folks in office down there. How soon can we get rid of it? And another suggestion, I think I may have mentioned before, Dave, you ought to have whoever the person was in Maine that spearheaded the let's get rid of ranked choice voting because it didn't work campaign, get them on the radio so people can get educated on how bad it is and how screwed up it is. And we just got to go back to one vote, one person.
Well,
anyway, I'll let you guys discuss that, but okay. It's got to go. It's just a mess.
Thank you, Craig. Well, what are the two ways we can get rid of this?
Yeah, so it was done through the initiative process, so we basically have to have it from this election cycle, right?
2-year period.
Correct, 2-year period. So next legislative session, whoever is elected, has the ability to make modifications to that initiative process.
Or strike it out in entirety and go back to the original.
Yeah, and man, there's 3 or 4 different statutory changes that ballot initiative made just to the election process. So I was talking to someone the other day, not to bore you with the details, Craig. So I'm not sure if you could do that over one piece of legislation or if you'd have to do multiple targeting.
Well, hold it. Statutes. Hold it. This all happened on one piece of initiative.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Unfortunately,
And the Supreme Court certified that, oh, by the way, it's only supposed to be, singular. But not this time. So guess what? It can go back.
Yeah, there's weird mechanics to that. So yeah, you could do it through the initiative process again, sure.
Legislative process.
And anyone who's followed that process in Alaska knows that we have just a really crazy initiative process where you can put stuff on the ballot, you can put a ton of money behind it, and you can make really radical structural changes to state government that maybe a lot of people didn't really understand what they were voting for.
You mean case in point, ranked choice voting?
Yeah, case in point, ranked choice voting. And, I remember the ads for RCV, and most of the ads were basically like, hey, you should get dark money out of politics. And I think most Alaskans like myself, we don't want folks from out of state, trying to buy our elections. We're pretty fiercely independent people. And but
that's what was going on with this.
Yeah. So when you talk to the vast majority of voters now, they didn't understand that they were making this radical change on how you elect people. Yeah. So
how often do you see an initiative process that has 24 pages of changes to your state constitution?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a scary prospect when you have it's a very risky proposition when you have that aspect. So
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. Will Stapp is in the booth with me.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
As seasons change, sometimes so do you. If you're thinking about switching career lanes, come join our crew at Alyeska Tire. Alyeska Tire provides an engaging, fast-paced work environment that's fun and financially rewarding. With competitive wages, flexible scheduling, paid vacation, and not to mention a generous bonus program, what are you waiting for? If this sounds like your speed, apply in person at your nearest Alyeska Tire location today. We're always with you.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 77. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, lows level off around 53. Cloudy again tomorrow, highs level off around 68. Highs around 72 Friday under mainly cloudy skies. 78 Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We'll stop in the studio with me here. We're enjoying discussing what is appearing before us literally as we speak. The process. We're in the middle of the process, and we're talking about where we're at in the process, what can happen, what might happen, what may happen, what we know, what we don't know, what we think we know, what we think we don't know, what I think I don't want to know.
A lot of unknowns and a lot of uncertainty, and that's, like I said, that's kind of a scary prospect to go into an election cycle and kind of have that wool. But, you can get into the details on this stuff, and you can read some of these studies that they've done. Burlington mayor election, for example, is one of the first ranked choice voting. And you can look at Maine, and you can look at San Francisco mayoral election. And, these issues are not only fraught with risk, but the dynamics are so, out there. One study that I read had like a 22% voter drop-off in rounds, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I get to folks by addition by subtraction.
So those who vote for them all will have a say.
Yeah, and you're incentivized, obviously, to vote for everyone. But, people are people, and they typically don't make those decisions, right? Yeah. So when I talk to folks about ranked choice voting, keep in mind there's a bunch of different ways that you can apply the counting method to ranked choice voting. And this is where it gets technical. So the method that we are using is called instant runoff, where your vote is automatically reallocated to your second choice and third choice and fourth choice and thereafter. But there are other ways of doing that. That don't eliminate candidates, right? So there's a method called abort account. And abort account basically just applies a value weight to your choices. So for example, in abort account, your first choice, say there's four people, your first choice would get 4 points, your second choice would get 3 points, your third choice would get 2 points, your fourth choice would get 1 point, right?
And one round and that's it.
One round and that's it. And he who gets the most, or he or she who gets the most points,
on round one.
On round one, if it's over 50, they win, so you can do different modes of RCV. So the kind of the pitch that these folks have given voters, they've curtailed the message to say, well, this is the only way and we're going to do it this way because it's the best method. But no, it's not. If you talk to these mathematicians who do the studies, most of them prefer a board account over an instant runoff because it's a more adequate way of judging kind of how voters actually feel by candidates, right? There's also a Condorcet method, and there's a lot of different aspects of this. But keep in mind, we're really talking about a couple of different aspects when we do this. So,
there's a national on the political basis between the Build It Back Better.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of like, now we go into the other one is put it back the way you found it.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Will Stapp, and your name is? Hello? Hello, you're on the air? Well, don't hear anything. Hopefully we'll...
Yeah, so, and you know, and again, I think that you should have a system that's easy to understand, that encourages people to get out there and make choices that for candidates that they want to represent them and their values. And the way you do that is not making a kind of complicated process. And I know most, you know, then there's going to be a big education piece. And the problem is that are most voters going to be able to understand the education piece before they walk into the ballot box?
And yeah.
I would think probably not. I mean, that's my honest answer, you know, so we'll find out in August for sure.
We'll try this phone call again. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
It's Charlie. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Charlie.
Oh, hey, Randolph, I think Mr. Randolph filed a lawsuit against that new voting thing, but... one ballot measure I remember was it did away with the Alaska Transportation Commission, but, you know, it really didn't matter. The DOT sprouted back up anyway.
There you go. Thank you, Charlie.
Ballot measures.
Appreciate Bye. It. You have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Yeah, so it was actually Dick Randolph and I think former Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell who sued because the Alaska Constitution basically clearly kind of states that the Lieutenant Governor and the Governor are kind of separate entities on a ballot. We've always ran, you know.
The Lieutenant Governor protects the seal of the state government and runs the Division of Elections.
Yeah. And,
period.
And we've never had a Governor and Lieutenant Governor run as a team before a primary. So that was kind of the heart of the lawsuit. And again, you know, the court ruled that it doesn't really matter what the Constitution said of the state in that aspect. They ruled that, you know, you can have Lieutenant Governor and Governor run as a team from the get-go. So,
boy, it gets interesting. You know, also what they say is, you know, we have a voter ID law.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if the people at the place of voting know you, you don't have to pull out your ID. And they've always said that this voter ID hurts rural Alaska because they don't have driver's licenses. But everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, that's kind of a silly argument I tell folks. Look, I hear a lot of folks that tell me all the time, well, you know, this is going to hurt Anaktuvuk Bassett, this is going to hurt Galena or something like that. And I tell folks, well, you know, I've been going to those places for like 10 years, and most of those folks are going to have ideas. They certainly have challenges at the DMV, you know, hours and staffing like everybody else and worse, but they're going to have some form of identification. And you're absolutely right, David. Everybody knows you, you know. Somebody is going to be able to vouch for you in a place like Manicotec, right? I mean, come on. So they're just not very good arguments, and people make them. And honestly, the people who make them are the folks who live in the biggest suburban Anchorage, right?
And guess what? You got a license, easy licensing down there.
Yeah, of course, you know. But, you know, they don't go out there, and they don't talk to folks, and they don't know them. And, I mean, come on. You know, it's just kind of a weak argument, in my opinion.
Yes, it is. You know, it's sad, but it's still there. We have about a minute left. Go ahead and close us up how you want to there, Will. Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I wanted a very astute political analyst, and I called you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, well, you know, my name is Will Stapp. I'm running for the State House in District 32, which is, of course, East Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger Road, all the way down the Richardson Highway to North Pole. The city limits the North Pole, you know. And, you know, I tell folks, you know, I try to, when I talk to folks, kind of be polite and professional and respectful. And kind of my motivation in life is to try to find sensible solutions for complex problems and always try to treat people well. So.
Very well. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I wish you best in your race. You're a hard worker. I believe you'll be successful because of your work ethic and your disposition and the way you treat others very well, and you'll always look at representing Alaska first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday.